We're talking about all things AI today on the Midweek Minute with the Superintendent, with Dr. Michelle Eller. It's Michael alongside with you. Dr. Eller, we are in this age, whether you like it or not, of artificial intelligence. And, you know, a lot of people are thinking, well, oh my goodness, AI, it's so new and it's novel. AI's been around for a while, but it's just now within the last few years becoming more and more mainstream in terms of how the average user can consume it and use it. So now, looking at it in the education realm, it's imperative that there are plans and protocols in place and processes of how to ensure it is not abused, how to ensure that it is leveraged the right way, and how to ensure that it essentially and at the core helps students and educators get the most out of learning. So where did you fall into this when it comes to the event that you just went to? Tell us about the event and what exactly you experienced here from a 30,000 foot level, and then we'll dive in a little bit deeper.
So I'll be honest, I had only dived in a tiny bit with AI.
Yeah.
You know, we have utilized some of the resources with our teachers through our blended learning training that Dr. Rivers has done, and she's done a fabulous job with that. And so there's tools out there to really help our educators make their lives a little bit easier with lesson planning and things of that nature, grading. I would have loved to have had some of the things that they're able to utilize with some of the AI tools such as Magic House. But other than that, except, you know, maybe GPS and things of sure. that nature, you know, I hadn't used a lot of the tools. So I kind of felt like, okay, why me, you know, being a part of this? But I knew I needed to do something, one, to educate myself, but also so that I could create a clear plan for our district as well. Because not only do we need to prepare our educators to use it, we also need to be preparing students.
Yeah.
Because they're going to see this in the work world, and they need to know what are acceptable uses and what are not acceptable uses.
So this is the International Society for Technology and Education and the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. These two joined together for a summit, if you will, on all things AI. And you were sharing with me the representation by the United States and other territories. Now, this was not all 50 states. This was several states plus other territories like the Virgin Islands and, you know, D.C. and the Mariana Islands. So there were several different entities there, Puerto Rico. In Alabama's close to the top of the list in terms of representation or delegates, I should say, at number 5, Texas, North Carolina, California, Pennsylvania, above Alabama. And Alabama is in the likes with New York. And that's it in terms of representation.
Yes.
Georgia is even behind that. Louisiana is behind that. Anyway, my point here is that out of the 5 Alabama delegates that were sent or applied, I should say, and that were received to go, even out of the entire nearly 100 representatives from all of these school systems across the country, you're the only superintendent.
Yes.
What does that say for you? And I mean, the fact that you were obviously, you applied obviously for this and you had to be chosen. But if you're the only superintendent in the room and you're taking your job pretty seriously, I would say at that point. Yes. But at the same time, you know, I think what that says is that you have your fingerprint on ensuring that the students and the educators really get the most out of this. It's not just educators coming to this and then taking it back and telling their superintendent or their whoever it may be, hey, or their principals, we need this. You're looking at this from the top down.
Well, to me, that's how change has to happen, and things have to be implemented that way. And if I don't understand it and I don't embrace it, it's hard for that rollout to be effective. You know, there were so many district leaders in the room. There were some assistant superintendents. There were some technology directors, some curriculum directors. And I can't tell you how many said to me, wow, I can't believe you're here. I wish my superintendent was here because I'm going to have to go back now and try to explain to him or her really what we need to do with AI. And I don't know if they're going to embrace it.
How is AI right now being used in the school system? And what did you gain from this summit that you wish to apply to the school system moving forward?
Well, like I said, our teachers I know have been exposed to some of the AI tools through our blended learning classroom, which is awesome. It makes, you know, their life a lot easier. Yep. As they're researching and planning lessons. But we really have not put parameters in place for students. One, how to teach students usage, but then two, providing some tools and providing some opportunities for them to use it correctly, responsibly. Because, like I said, you know, when they leave us and go out into the work world, they're going to have to know those skills. You know, in the U.S., the fastest growing in-demand skills right now are flexibility, professional ethics, social perceptiveness, and self-management.
All of which, using any type of AI, can help tremendously. Yeah. If it's done the right way.
Right. So it's up to us to teach them how to do that so that we're not reinventing the wheel on skills. For example, at the conference, they gave us a few tools that we could utilize or suggested that we utilize. And I took our bus routes. I asked for a spreadsheet of our bus routes and plugged it in there to see if AI could tell us maybe some more productive ways to do them. I also took our ACAP scores, the spreadsheet of our ACAP scores, put it in there and asked for specific data points to be pulled out and for it to create a graph for me so that I could see where holes were with reading and math instruction. And within minutes, what would have taken me hours, maybe days, to analyze the data, within minutes, it had analyzed it and gave me a beautiful graph so that I could share with my folks. Well, our students also need to understand usage in productive manners such as that, not necessarily to write their essay for them or to conduct their research for them in its entirety, but it might be where they've written a paper and we teach them how to put it in there to do peer editing, mm-hmm. where instead of, right. you know, we used to pass that paper to the person next to them right. and have them peer edit, you could actually ask AI to do that. Or you could ask AI to help you form a thesis statement. And then, you know, you work on your supporting details or to help you quote something correctly. Or my goodness, how about those references at the end of your paper? You could ask it to format it in MLA format. Things like that you could utilize it on or have them put their research in there and ask it to create a pamphlet or to create talking points if you've got to get up and do an oral presentation. So there's so many things in there that, you know, our students could learn how to do, and it would aid them not only in school but later on in life as well.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So it leads me to the next question. When it comes to education and it comes to students particularly, I'm sure there are a lot of parents and, you know, other just general listeners out there that are thinking to themselves, well, what are the protocols in place to ensure that work is authentic from a student? They're not just plugging something into an AI generator and asking it to write them a paper and do different things of that nature. So what are you doing right now to be able to combat that?
So I think some of the things you can do are, one, ensure that some of the pre-writing is done in class. So there has to be a trail. Mm-hmm. of, you know, the work that's been done. But two, you know, for years we've had, we've utilized programs that will actually detect whether or not plagiarism has taken place. I used them as well in the classroom 10 plus years ago as an English teacher. My students had to submit theirs in Turnitin.com first before submitting to me.
And I remember Turnitin.com. Remember that? Absolutely.
So we still have things like that nature yeah. already set up. But if our students can learn how to utilize it in the right way, then hopefully we can alleviate some of that. Because like you, you know, I'd only heard, I mean, to me, some of the negative about AI.
Yeah.
You know, I've got grandchildren too that are in school and may have taken some shortcuts mm-hmm. with some of the papers they've had to write.
Sure.
And so I don't want us to just say, well, this is not good. We're not going to use it. Let's throw it out. Instead, let's embrace it. It's here. Let's teach them how to utilize it the right way.
So you've been talking about, you know, piggybacking off of what Dr. Rivers has done and kind of bridging a gap here. And where do you see this going in terms of what you want to bring to Sylacauga City Schools and how it would be implemented and ultimately executed?
Well, because of the work that Dr. Rivers has done, we now have teachers we know that are utilizing it educationally for themselves in the classroom. So I'd like to start there and maybe create a task force of teachers and some administrators as well that we can work on it together this year, really coming up with a strategic plan of how we're going to implement it with students and maybe put some of those parameters and guidelines in place of how we would do it, what it would look like, what resources we might need, all of those things, and have that be our year-long plan so that next year, and maybe even pilot it in a couple of classrooms to see what it looks like with students. And then our next step, of course, would be rolling it out full force the next year after we've worked out all those kinks.
You know, so many professionals and maybe even I would go as far to say skeptics in some ways say the more you tell AI, the more it's going to know about you. And that is very true. It's going to learn you. There are ways to, if you're concerned about privacy, there are ways to go about feeding it that information that are not so much proprietary. They're more in general terms.
Right.
And after it gives you whatever it is that you need, you fill in the blanks essentially where they are left. But at the same time, looking and learning about what AI can do for you, it is only going to give you what you put into it.
Right.
It is not going to give you anything less. It's not going to give you anything more. So whatever you ask it in terms of what the prompt is, you have to ensure that it is beefy enough
right.
for you to get whatever that is that you need.
And it picks up patterns.
Yeah, of course.
So it picks up patterns that exist. I mean, for example, I was playing in it a little bit yesterday and put my resume in there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been writing resumes for a long time. I used to write them with my students. I used to teach them how to write it.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been fabulous resource when I was in the classroom.
Yeah.
And so I put mine in there just to see how they would format it and how it would, you know, come out. And of course it had some things in there that, you know, I had to go in and change. It's not like you can just copy and paste it. Now you've got a beautiful new resume.
Right.
So, you know, you're correct. You know, it's going to take what you feed it. But even then, you know, you've got to have the aptitude to look through it.
Bingo.
And make changes and make alterations because it's not going to be a polished, finished product.
Correct. Yeah. And that's I think, I feel like a misnomer. Yes, in some capacities, computers in general have replaced human beings. But with AI in particular, we have to be mindful that whatever it outputs, there still has to be a human eye on it if we have any sense of, you know, if we have any sense about ourselves and we want to make sure that we protect whatever it is that we're doing, we have to still have human insight on whatever it is that.
Well, and I think that's what we need to teach.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's important to teach that humanity. I was listening to the radio earlier today and there just happened to be an AI story.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a family that used AI to plan this trip to Peru to see some kind of historical, you know, thing that existed in Peru. And AI mapped it all out, where to stay, you know, driving directions and everything else. Well, they get there and it didn't exist.
What? Oh, no. No way. Nope. Double check it. Seriously.
They didn't double check it. They had a nice trip to Peru, but they didn't see this historical site that supposedly existed.
No way. Yeah. You've got to do that. I mean, that's super important. It's vital to ensuring that not only just you as a basic consumer, but really just more in the education side of things, because that can really make or break how a student learns and how a teacher teaches. Right. So yeah, it's very vital, and props to you for taking the initiative to go to this. I mean, that's huge. That's huge.
Well, I appreciate the fact that, you know, my board is very on board with this. You know, the board is required to do 2 hours of training every year altogether as a board. And they chose to do training on AI.
Yeah.
And so they were very much supportive of this opportunity for me to be able to go and bring back the information, because they want our district to be on the forefront. They want us to be educating our teachers and our students. And so I have to give props to our board members, first and foremost, for having that vision.
Absolutely.
And then allowing me the opportunity to go.
For sure. Yeah. Great job by the board. Great job to you. Looking forward to it being an incredible application, and any way that we can help here at Radio Alabama, we want to be a part of it for sure.
Yes,
we use AI all the time, so we're super excited about this for sure. Dr. Michelle Eller, thank you so much.
Yes, and don't forget, this is homecoming week.
Oh my gosh, it is. You're
so
right.
So we want to see everybody out at the parade Thursday at 4.
Yes.
We're not able to have the bonfire this year because of Comer's game.
That's right.
And so. And then we want to see everybody out at Legion Stadium Friday for a great time.
Facing Marbury, it's going to be a great, great time for sure. Yes. We're looking forward to it.
Yes.
Awesome.
We're excited.
Go Aggies.
Yes, go Aggies.